Welcome back to Eyes on the Future. This morning, we are visiting with Lynn Desert, president of Leadership Breakthrough, Carol McManus, owner of Carol G. McManus Consulting, and Mark Peterson, president and CEO of Greater Rochester Enterprise. We're talking about the importance of setting social boundaries in the workplace. Eyes on the Future is sponsored by Greater Rochester Enterprise, Harter Seacrest and Emery, Eastman Business Park, Employee Relations Associates. Where is that Ioli? I haven't seen him in a while. Where's he been?
I don't know. We got to get him back in here.
Yeah, and Mengel Metzger Bar. So, Mr. Peterson, GRE has a staff of about 10 people, and with a group like that working closely together, how do you make sure that proper social boundaries are set?
Well, you know, I think part of it is we have a very flat organization. I mean, we do work long hours and closely together, but, you know, we're really working very much as a team, and everybody on that team, you know, is really backing everybody else up. And so I think that creates a different kind of social interaction than it would be. You know, we do some things together as a team and include our families. When we do those, we just, for example, about a month ago, we had a night at the Red Wings game. And, yeah. You know, it was, you know, spouses, significant others, girlfriends, and children. And, you know, that was a nice little group. And I think that's a proper social environment for the work and place and positive team building. And I think if you have those kinds of outlets, then you can try to keep the boundaries proper.
So you think if you're doing a lot of team building outside of a regular work day that is just people on the team, maybe that's, you're asking for more trouble that way?
I think there are times when that's appropriate, maybe a corporate Christmas party, but I always like to include, you know, spouses, significant others. I like to include the children once in a while, too. I mean, you know, and you can spend less money, too, quite frankly. Let's do a summer picnic instead of doing a big, fancy Christmas party. Yeah. You know, last year we didn't do a Christmas party. We had, you know, some hors d'oeuvres, and we donated some money to a local charity. I think there's some real positive things, and you can set the tone as the leader of an organization of, hey, we're going to do some positive things, but still have some time together, you know, in a less stressed environment to sort of get to know one another.
Lynn, while it doesn't happen at GRE, can those family atmospheres created in the workplace sometimes lead to people crossing the line?
Sometimes they can cross the line. For example, in the story that you you talked about on the lead-in.
About the junior associate calling someone to go skiing?
That's correct. It was actually a reader that had written me, and it was a true story. And it happened to be that she was in one professional firm. Her husband was in another professional firm. They were married for 25 years, so this wasn't something where somebody had just gotten married and, you know, there's a little jealousy going on. But they were off on a Sunday, morning, out of town kind of event, and all of a sudden the cell phone rings at 8 o'clock in the morning, and this junior associate, who happened to be young female, was asking him, "Well, you want to go skiing?" And, she was kind of like, you know, scratching her head saying, "Well, why is this person calling you at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning?" And so, what I had counseled her on was to, you know, take a look at the husband in terms of, you know, that he happens to be in a practice. And the practice really, it's incumbent upon them to make sure that they have the right kind of environment. And so to take that question back to his partners and say, you know, is this appropriate in terms of the kinds of things that we want our junior associates to be doing?
Right.
And if not, you know, how do we, you know, kind of, get the playing field a little bit more level so that, we don't have those situations in terms of the boundaries happening between work and personal life.
Carol, can you be someone's manager and be their friend at the same time?
It's kind of tough, actually. I've actually been in this situation. I won't overgeneralize from it, but you're in two power levels, and unless you're power grabbing, you're going to try to be a manager that's going to be level and try to play no favorites and essentially treat everybody as a valued asset of the company.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a friend who introduced me to a company. I got the job, and there was always a tension between us after that. There still is, and it's unfortunate that happens. I think it can work. I don't think it's something that's mutually exclusive, but you do have to work at it and make sure that the other people in the workforce understand that you are not playing favorites, that, okay, this person I do happen to know outside the office, but keep that relationship outside the office. Kind of like Lynn's question, even a little better than mine. I had a situation where there was another employee, and I don't know whether the friend had anything to do with this, but this employee Tony being Tony, the appropriate boundaries in the workplace. I've actually written for Lynn's blog about this one. Tony would make these most untoward comments toward people. And when they finally got to me, I finally had to sit down with him and say, this is just inappropriate behavior. Well, after it happened twice, I had to sit down with Tony and say, you know, everybody knows it's Tony being Tony. A couple of people are a little concerned that Tony's going over the line. And frankly, if we have another one of these incidents, Tony's out the door.
Right.
And so you really do have to set a boundary and make sure that you monitor it.
Now, all three of you folks are in leadership positions. How do you manage people you might golf with or grab a drink with after work? Do you treat those people any differently, or how do you do that?
Well, what I typically have done in the past when I had people working for me, and if I had a personal relationship with them, I would sit them down and I would let them know that, you know, the way in which I treat you at work is going to be different than the way I treat you outside of work. And, you know, I have to be fair to everybody else in the organization, and, you know, that's the way it's going to play. And if you don't like it, then one or the other of the relationships has to give.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, for us, when we do things together, I mean, we just played in a golf tournament, you know, a couple of days ago with some of the members of our team. And, you know, we had a great time. But you know, we're in a close-knit team. These are highly skilled professionals. And I, quite frankly, have a lot of – I tend to hire for, you know, their integrity, their honesty, their work ethic to begin with. So there are a lot of like commonalities there. It's more difficult in a large work environment, I think, because you have a lot of different kinds of people and personalities filling that workforce. You know, we're able to be very selective about our team, and so I think they get along. But you always are going to have the male-female thing. You're always going to have differences of marital statuses sometimes. People are going through different things, and so that can be very difficult if you have those mixed kinds of events as well, and you have to know that there's a higher standard in those kinds of situations.
Mark, I couldn't agree more. There's a little more dynamic, kind of multiple dynamics going on in a larger organization than in a smaller organization, and often I think one of the pieces of advice I would give to managers is go out and have a drink with your people once in a while. Don't make it a practice every Friday night. Certainly be sociable. Try to let them know you are a human being and that you can let down a little bit. But recognize that you do have a situation where you may have to face them across a table with a disciplinary matter or with something very serious. So it's a kind of a tender point.
Coming up next on Eyes on the Future, Gossip Girl may be a popular primetime show, but what kind of a plot's created by gossiping in the workplace? We'll tell you when Eyes on the Future comes back after this on 1180 WHAM.